This is a message from Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. We pray that it will encourage you in your walk of faith. If you would like to learn more about Dr. Youssef or Leading the Way, please visit ltw.org.
The industry of tourism has grown in leaps and bounds. In the 50s and the 60s, the tourism was mostly limited to Americans, where Americans have traveled the world in tour groups to see historic sites, museums, and other places. But later on, that is not limited to Americans anymore. People from every corner of the globe travel and they tour areas of the world that they have only heard about or read about in books and magazines. So now tourism has become a huge business. In fact, there's a story told about an American tour group some years ago where they're watching the spewing of Mount Vesuvius from a distance in Italy. And there they were looking and seeing this incredible sight. And one lady turned to her traveling companion and she said, "Look at this, look at this. It looks just like hell." Whereupon an Italian who was standing nearby looked at his companion and said, "Man, these Americans, they've been everywhere." But believe it or not, there was a time in history where tourism was at its height, at its zenith, and was not to tour historic sites, but in order to travel, to see and seek wisdom and wise men. In fact, many of those people have traveled long distances. They have traveled enduring tremendous hardships. They have traveled literally risking their own lives. So, not to see sights, but to seek after wisdom. In fact, that form of tourism had reached its height around 950 BC. Later on, it was revived again during the time of the Greek philosophers in the 3rd and 2nd century BC. But 1,000 years before Christ, people traveled long distances, took great risks, seeking after one thing. In fact, when the Bible tells us about the Queen of Sheba, you remember that she traveled all the way from probably what is modern day Ethiopia or Yemen. She traveled a long distance in order to come to see for herself the wisdom of Solomon that she heard so much about. She is the culmination of what's going on at that time, of her, at that period of time. She represented that phenomena that was taking place at that time in history. Thirst for wisdom. You say, why? Why would they do that? Because God's people were recognized at that time as the possessors of real wisdom. Babylonians and Persians and people of all nationalities were coming to that land where they've worshipped the one true God who is the only one, the giver of wisdom. And that fame drew them into the land of Israel. When I was reading about this and I found myself saying, "Oh Lord, oh, for that to be said of Christians today, that people would come long distance because they have heard about their commitment to Christ, because they've heard about their love for Jesus Christ, because they've heard that they are the men and women of faith and people want to come and learn from them." I said, "Oh Lord, oh, for thirst and hunger on the part of others to come seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ from His children, from His followers, from His disciples." I said, "Oh Lord, for the leaders of today to recognize that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Today I want to begin a short series of messages on biblical wisdom. I need to begin by telling you that in the Hebrew language there are six words, and they're all translated in English as wisdom. But the most common one that you find in the book of Proverbs is the word chukmah, which really simple definition is this: making the right decision at the opportune time. Making the right decision at the opportune time. That's the word chokmah, or the word for wisdom in the Hebrew language. And who can do that but God? All the time, making the right decision at the opportune time, at the right time. And that is why only those who walk in faith, only those who walk with the Lord Jesus Christ are able to do that more than anybody else. To make the right decision at the right time. This is the definition of wisdom in the book of Proverbs as we're going to look at it. And Solomon records that wisdom, that incredible wisdom that people traveled from all over the world, risking their own lives to come and see. He recorded it in several books of the Bible, but Proverbs is chief among them. So please turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, beginning at verse 20. Let me read this to you. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateway of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hands, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I, in turn, will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like the whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelms you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you open our spiritual eyes, that you open our minds and you open our hearts, that we may receive from your word what you have us receive. But Father, that it may change us, that it may cause us to be urgent in these days. Father, I pray that you would reach down to those who are afraid, that they receive courage from you. That for those who are discouraged, they will receive encouragement from you. And Father, for those who are prideful, that they may humble themselves and be broken before you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm calling this message the plea of wisdom. We're going to see in the next two messages the protection of wisdom and the path of wisdom. But this is the plea of wisdom. In fact, the first chapter in the book of Proverbs, I did not read the first 19 verses, but if you look at the whole chapter, you're going to find that the entire chapter is a contrast. It's a contrast between folly in the first 19 verses and wisdom in the verses that I've read to you. Wisdom and folly are represented by two women. Both are calling out to people. Both are inviting people. Both are tempting us to follow them. The first 19 verses of Proverbs, you'll hear the call of folly. I did not read them because I want to focus on wisdom. But by contrast, you must understand that both wisdom and folly are very inviting. Both wisdom and folly are active in their pursuit of us every single moment of every single day. Both wisdom and folly have different ways of operating. They have different ways of attracting people. Both wisdom and folly are seeking followers. In other words, they are in competition with each other. They're competing for us. But there is a world of difference between the way the two of them operate. There's a world of difference between the way wisdom operates and the way folly operates. Wisdom operates in the open, while folly, on the other hand, operates in darkness. Wisdom operates in the clear sunshine, but evil and folly tend to operate in the darkness and in secret. Wisdom has nothing to hide. Everything is open. But folly is secretive, sly, covert. Wisdom makes itself available to anyone who seeks after it or who is willing to receive it. Folly, on the other hand, is active only when nobody is looking. That's the contrast that the scripture makes here. And Solomon said that wisdom is pleading with all people everywhere to receive it. Please, take me with you. Accept me. That's what wisdom is doing, is pleading with everyone. And you say, how do you know that wisdom is pleading with every person, everywhere, all the time? It's very simple. It's right there in the scripture. You see, in Solomon's day, the busiest place in town is at the gate of the city. All the commerce took place right there at the gate of the city. The government conducted business right there at the gate of the city. The legislators, the judges actually conducted their courts right there at the gate of the city. All the business deals were sealed right there at the gate of the city. In other words, wisdom was crying out to be accepted in every area of life. It's calling out. She's calling out. I believe with all my heart that if Solomon is writing in our day, he would have said, wisdom is crying out in the schools. And that came so real to me this last week when one of our members, 8 years old, refused to participate with her classmates in that chapel that was calling upon the spirits of the Native Americans to come into their lives. She said, I will not do that. Wisdom was crying to the folly of the administrators of the school through an 8-year-old. Wisdom is crying out in the libraries. Wisdom are crying out in books and magazines. Wisdom is crying out in the Congress and the legislators. Wisdom is crying out in radio and television. Wisdom is crying out where business is being conducted. Wisdom is crying out in the hospitals and in the operating room. Wisdom is crying out in the boardrooms and in the shop floors. Wisdom is crying out in every area of life. Unlike folly, wisdom is pleading openly and pleading passionately. But sadly, wisdom's voice is being drowned by the pursuit of folly. The Bible said that the beginning of wisdom, not the end of it, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And the reason you know that wisdom's plea has been going unheeded is because the fear of the Lord is not in the land anymore. I want you to look at verse 22 of Proverbs 1. There's three questions in that one verse, verse 22. Three questions that are addressed to those who choose to ignore wisdom and pursue foolishness. These are three rhetorical questions and need to be answered by every human being that has ever lived. Listen to me. Every one of us have to answer these questions. How long will the scorners remain in their scorning? How long will the foolish remain in their foolishness? How long? How long? Wisdom is crying out to our nation and saying, how long will you be deceived by soft words like diversity and inclusiveness and political correctness and sexual orientation and tolerance and open-mindedness? How long will you be deceived by these soft words? How long will you not hear the voice of God telling you that the fear of Him is the beginning of wisdom? And not this list of foolish pursuits that has invaded the churches. Someone may ask, what is the fear of the Lord? Does it mean that I need to be terrified of God all the time? No, that's not what it means at all. The fear of the Lord in the scripture means that you do not grieve Him. The fear of the Lord means that you reverence Him, that you have devotion to Him. The fear of the Lord means that you dread sin, not rationalize it and explain it away. That's what the fear of the Lord means. Those people who ignore wisdom are the people who, when you give them employment, they will dissipate their opportunities. They're the people, if you give them money, they waste it. They're the people who, when you give them education, they don't value it. They're the people, when you give them wise counsel, they refuse to accept it. Several years ago, I was talking to someone in my office. And I was, as many of you know, I'm not a great counselor, but I gave it my best shot. But no matter what I say to that person would say to me, you just don't understand my situation. No matter what I say, you don't understand. So I became mentally exhausted. I was just tired. I was coming to the end of my rope. So I got up, I grabbed the scripture, and I opened the pages of the scripture, and I read a passage that is directly related to that person's problem. Before I even finished the passage, that person said, but the scripture doesn't understand. Finally, I had to say some very hard things to that person. Do you know why? Listen to me. That's from the Word of God here. Because when people are in the grip of folly, they need to hear the word of rebuke from the Word of God. And the difference between those who positively respond to the wisdom's open plea and rebuke from the Word of God and those who are caught up in folly and in its folly's secret enticement, the difference between the two is success or failure. I want you to hear me right, please. Those who accept the rebuke of wisdom and the wisdom that comes from the Word of God will succeed. Those who get angry and leave, and they're going to keep on repeating their error with meticulous precision. And they're going to keep doing it over and over and over again. Why? Because their folly has stopped them from receiving the rebuke of the wisdom of the Word of God. Why do I say this? Because folly hardens the heart. And a hard heart is like hard ground that needs to be plowed, that needs to be broken, so that it can produce crops. Just as the clay needs to be kneaded and pounded before it can turn into a beautiful instrument, into a useful instrument, so is the heart that is hardened by folly. So is the heart that is hardened with pride. I want you to hear me right. People who refuse to be broken by the Word of God, listen to me, some of you are there. Those who refuse to be broken by the Word of God and the Word of wisdom of the Word of God will never be useful to God. Did you hear that? Those who refuse to accept wisdom's admonition will not be of help to anyone. Those who are so wrapped up in themselves, those who are committed to being right all the time, those who get angry at the preacher when he speaks wisdom from the Word of God, those people who shrug their shoulders and they say, well, that was another good sermon, and refuse to listen to the rebuke that comes from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit of God, they will remain in their foolishness until it's too late. Until it's too late. Did you know that wisdom is one of the New Testament names of the Holy Spirit? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 tells us that He is the Spirit of wisdom. And Solomon is saying, look at verses 28 all the way to 31 of Proverbs 1. Here's what Solomon is saying. He is saying that when wisdom is scorned, when wisdom is rejected, when wisdom is ignored, wisdom will one day mock those who have rejected it. Wisdom one day is going to laugh at those who ignored it. Wisdom will take delight in the plight of those who have opted for the foolishness of their own folly. Now, you need to understand the Hebrew language, particularly whenever we're looking at the Old Testament. You've got to understand the way the language is used. And in the Hebrew language, there's a great deal of imagery. And if you don't really understand that, you'll miss it. Language of the Old Testament, a Semitic language. But it's a great deal of language that you must understand, because when you read this, the first thing you're thinking about is God going to sit back and laugh at the plight of the folly? Is God going to sit there and mock the person who have made the choice for folly instead of wisdom? And the answer is no. And that is why I want to illustrate it to you in a way that you'll understand it, okay? I get sick. I go to the doctor. And the doctor diagnoses my sickness. And then he gives me a medicine. I take the medicine and I put it by my bedside. And then I'd say, this doctor, he really doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm not going to take this medicine. I know he means well, but I'm not going to take this medicine. This medicine can't really help me. He can't do much. I know how to take care of myself. The medicine will be sitting there by my bedside. Every morning when I wake up, I see it. Every evening when I go to bed, I see it. I look at that medicine and I say, I'm fine. I don't need your medicine. I don't care if you're going to bring me healing. I don't care what kind of healing you're going to bring me. I am fine. The doctor did not understand how I feel. The doctor just doesn't understand my real needs. I know what I need, and it's not that medicine. I want to tell you something. There are millions of people throughout this world and throughout this country who are watching by television, hearing the Word of God preached, have a Bible in their homes. It's like that bottle of medicine sitting there, and they're constantly, constantly scorning it. In the real sense, the very presence of that medicine by my bedside is a cry by that medicine for me to use it. But I keep on refusing. So what happens? I die. I refuse to take the medicine. I die. So what happens then? Here's what I want you to listen to very carefully. That medicine would be sitting there after I've died as a mockery of my foolishness. That medicine would be sitting there by my bedside as a monument to my stupidity. That medicine would be sitting there by my bedside laughing at my stubbornness and my hard-heartedness. Now, that's the picture here. The Bible tells us about a man by the name of Noah. God told Noah to build an ark in a specific specification. But not only that he's to build that ark because a flood is coming, but he is to invite whomever would come into the ark to escape perishing. Noah went about building the ark. Not only that, but he was going to his neighbors. He was inviting them to come into the ark. He is saying, deluge, your flood is going to come. Deluge, your flood is coming. Please come into my ark. Deluge, your floods are going to come. Please come into my ark. But instead of heeding the warning and accepting his invitation, his neighbors jeered him. They mocked him. They laughed at him. Day after day, day after day, day after day, day after day, they would not heed the warning. Not only that, they called him a fool. They look in the sky, there's no sign of flood, there's no sign of rain. It doesn't rain in this part of the world. Their human logic, which is folly, told them that the possibility of a flood is extremely remote. And so they refused the invitation of wisdom. And the Bible said that after Noah and his family and every sample of every species has entered into the ark, God shut the door. This is very important. You see, Noah did not shut the door. I think if Noah shut the door, he's a human being, and he sees the plea of his dying neighbors, he would have been tempted to open the door. The Bible does not make a mistake. Listen to me. The Bible said that God shut the door, not Noah. Now, this is very important. You must understand that. Why? Because it was God's invitation that they've rejected. It was God's loving call that they turned down. So it was God who shut the door. When the warning was not heeded, when wisdom is scorned, when God's plan was rejected, when mercy is refused, when love is consistently mocked, then the ridiculed invitation was withheld. Just as it will happen, there is a time today for everyone to turn to Jesus Christ and receive his salvation, because he's the only way to salvation. But the day is coming when God says, this is it. And it will be too late for those who rejected him. I get no joy out of that. I plead with people. Accept wisdom's invitation. You see, when the ridiculed invitation is withheld, at that point the opportunity has passed. The chance is gone and is gone forever. Look at verse 28. Verse 28 of Proverbs 1. It says, the people will cry out for wisdom, but they could not find it. Now, wait a minute, you say, wait a minute, wait a minute. You told us in the beginning that wisdom is crying out for everybody. Anybody would receive it. If they want it, they'll take it. If they will open their hearts to it, yes. That was for a time, not forever. But isn't that ironic? Isn't that ironic? When wisdom cries out to people, and they reject it, and they choose folly instead. Then when the invitation of wisdom is withheld and withdrawn because of the rejection, it will be too late. They'll call out for it, but they won't find it. The book of Revelation said they'll be running from mountain to mountain and saying to the rocks, cover us from the face of him who's sitting on the throne. And verses 29 and 30 of Proverbs 1 gives us two reasons why wisdom plea will come to an end. Because it had been detested and because it had been despised. And the result of detesting and despising of wisdom will be no other than reaping of one's own harvest. Reaping one's own harvest. Look at verse 33 as we conclude. He says, those who accept wisdom's rebuke, those who are willing to be broken by the word of God, those who will turn to the living God in humility and brokenness will dwell safely. And those who do not will live in fear and dread. I'm going to say more about this in the next message. Noah, who was called a fool by the real fools, rested secure in the safety of the ark in the midst of the raging flood. And the real fools who have rejected his kind invitation perished in fear and dread. Will you accept wisdom's plea today? Will you reject folly and receive wisdom before it's too late? Shall we bow our heads in prayer? If the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to you today, let me plead with you. My words will never convince you. I know that. They're just mere words. But if the Holy Spirit of God used them to nudge you in your heart and say, now is the time to respond to wisdom's plea, to God's invitation. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that your work from beginning to end is yours. We thank you that you're the one who opened our spiritual eyes and call us to yourself. You're the one who opened our spiritual eyes and show us that we are sinful and heading for hell without Jesus. And then you're the one who seal us with the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray for every heart and every spirit that is bending before you and praying to you right now. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.